Hi, I'm Christos Gage.
Hey, this is writer Fred Van Lente.
Hi, this is Ruth Fletcher Gay.
I'm Barry Gregory.
Hi, this is Derek Donovan.
And this is Victor Dandridge, and you're listening to Thinking Outside of the Long Box. Got to better leave, but I feel asleep. It's way too exciting, been waiting all week. And everyone's here, so let's pack up the van. It's not enough room, so we Tetris the bags. We're on the road, we're going home. To the place where wild nerds roam. With pretty girls and dudes and kids. Going to cons is our escape.
Hey, everybody, and welcome once again to Thinking Outside the Long Box. My name is Thomas Strange, and I'm coming to you from beautiful downtown Memphis. And over in the kingdom of Louisiana is our good friend Mike Manning. How you doing, Mike?
I feel very regal today.
And just to the north of me in Boston is our good friend LT and good friend Josh Whopper. Josh, how's everything going with you today?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Excellent, excellent. How about you, LT?
I'm doing fine.
Terrific. Today we're going to talk about one of our favorite writers, Tony Isabella. For those of you guys who don't know Tony Isabella, you only think you don't know Tony Isabella. Because if you've been reading comic books long enough, you've come across some of his classic characters. Of course, one of our favorite classic characters is Black Lightning. In the interview, you're going to hear a lot about him. But to give you some of his major highlights, I turn it over to my good friend Mike Manning.
All right, well, Tony Isabella originally started writing for fanzines, and he caught the eye of Marvel Comics. They hired him to be a writer, and he wrote on such comic books as Astonishing Tales, Ghost Rider, Black Goliath, Luke Cage, Tigra, Daredevil, Captain America, and Iron Fist, before he headed over to DC Comics, where he created Black Lightning and wrote the series, both the first volume and the second volume. And he also wrote The Shadow War of Hawkman. In addition to that, he went over to Comico for a while and wrote Justice Machine. Now, he's probably best remembered for being the creator of Black Lightning, but he also created Misty Knight. And he was the creator of The Champions, although all of those characters existed separately before he put them together in the most bizarre team ever.
I love the Champions, one of my favorite superhero teams of all time, maybe second only, of course, to the Great Lakes Avengers.
Yeah, it's a weird combination. They had two X-Men, Iceman and Angel, and then they threw in Ghost Rider, and who else was on that team?
The Hulk was in and out once or twice, wasn't he? And Black Widow. Black Widow was on there.
It was just a weird combination. They just kind of pulled from different parts of the Marvelverse and said, yeah, you can have these characters.
Like, okay. I don't want to go into any of the stories that Tony told us because we got a lot of those on the actual interview, and I'm really looking forward to that. Josh, you mentioned earlier that you don't really know too much about Tony Isabella, but now that we went over some of those comic books, of course, you must remember some of them that you read.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm a big Daredevil fan. I didn't know he created Black Lightning. I like that. And I don't know. Are you guys going to talk about the Ghost Rider controversy? Does that come up?
What's the Ghost Rider controversy?
So in the mid-70s, he tried to basically introduce a version of Jesus into Ghost Rider.
Oh, yeah, that character first appears in National Lampoon's as the Son of God, who looks exactly like the Son of Satan, who later, of course, becomes Ghost Rider. Yeah.
And he just calls him the Friend and basically draws him as a hippie who tries to save him from Satan.
Yeah.
And apparently the editor tore up the pages and threw him off the book.
We don't talk about Ghost Rider in the interview. This is actually from our panel discussion at Pensacon on horrible, horrible stereotypes. So he talks about a lot about Black Lightning, and we also have his comments on other characters. He delves into the issue of the transgender character that was displayed on Batgirl, and he talks about Kevin Keller from Archie Comics. He also talks about so many other things. He talks about Batgirl becoming crippled.
Yeah, the entire gambit. So instead of us just waxing on and on about Tony Bismuth and how much we love him and how fanboy flabbergasted we were when he said yes to sit on our panel. Do you guys remember that?
I do. He was very, very gracious with his time at Pensacon, and he was a wonderful person to just talk to.
Yeah. Another really funny thing he does that I just want to mention is if you go to his booth, he doesn't have, you know, he's not an artist, so he's not doing sketches. So he makes these terrible little sketches of Godzilla, and you can just have one. Just have one. This Godzilla is doing these kind of stupid things. So that's pretty funny, too. So without further ado, let's get right into the Tony Isabella interview.
All right, I should preface this. I created Black Lightning in 1976, and I created him because I had many black friends who were comic book fans, and there weren't characters that looked like them in the comics, and I just thought that was unfair. So I had done some characters at Marvel, great characters, but the Black Panther was an African prince, a king. You know, that's very hard to relate to. Luke Cage was an ex-convict. Falcon was revealed to be an ex-criminal. The Living Mummy was dead. but living.
At least you were nice enough to make the Egyptian.
Yes, he was an Egyptian king. Yeah. So again, not really relatable, even without the whole mummy thing. I went over to DC Comics, and I'll throw in a couple more things. This is the way Black Lightning has gone for me. It's my proudest achievement. Lots of fans. Almost every year I go to the East Coast Black Age of Comics Convention, which is a convention about comics by, for, and featuring persons of color. Their poster that advertised their guest looks like the Black Brady Bunch and their white friend. So this has been a large part of my career. There's a book out there, Comic Book Nation, about racial diversity in comics. And in the very first edition of that book, I was identified as one of the few African-American writers in comics. They corrected it in later editions. And then there's a website about black cartoonists and black characters that, you know, was talking about Black Lightning. And the person writing the article says, well, I know Black Lightning was created by a white guy who probably didn't think he was a racist. So I get all those extremes. But I come to DC Comics after leaving Marvel, and they ask me to take over a book for them. It's a book called The Black Bomber. They have two completed scripts. Now, The Black Bomber has an unusual origin. He's a white racist who underwent chemical camouflage experiments in Vietnam, and this is a quote, so he could blend into the jungle better. It gets worse. Nothing happens when he's in Vietnam. He comes back to the States, and for some reason, in times of stress, he turns into the Incredible Negro. This character, the Black Bomber, who is a black superhero, he does not know he turns into a black superhero. The black superhero doesn't know that he's really a white racist. Their girlfriends know. They witnessed the transformation. Why they never bring this up? Did you know you're a white guy sometimes? Yeah, I don't know. In each of the two scripts that were handed to me, and I wasn't kidding about this, gets worse. In his white racist identity, he rescues somebody he can't see clearly. In one issue, it's a baby in a baby carriage. Oh, look, it's out of control. He stops the baby carriage, saves the baby, looks into the baby carriage. It's a black child. And he literally says, it's in the script, you mean I risked my life for a jungle bunny?
DC thought that was all right.
And then there was the matter of his superhero costume, which was basically a basketball uniform. So they hand me these scripts and say, we'd like you to punch these up a little bit and then start writing the book with the third issue. At which point I say, after I've read them, you cannot publish these comic books. these are the most offensive comic books I have ever read in my life. If you try to publish these comic books, people will come to your offices with torches and pitchforks, and I will be leading them. Well, so I finally said, look, I'll create a new character for you. It's going to be, what are you going to do? You're going to revamp this one? No, I'm not taking a damn thing from the Black Bomber. Just burn these scripts. I'll create a new black character for you. And then I tried to make him somebody very relatable to the young readers, which is why he was a teacher. I worked out everything important about Jeff Pierce even before I figured out his superhero identity would be Black Lightning. And when I brought him to DC, he was a fully formed character, and we entered into a partnership agreement to publish him. And since then, the first series didn't last too long. It got hit by something called the DC implosion. I wrote the character in the 70s. That's when I created him. I wrote a second series, which I think is much better than my first series, in the 90s. And although I'm not at liberty to give any details, it's not impossible that, like a 20-year plague of locusts, that I will be back writing Black Lightning sometime in the future.
I love that. Give it up. All right.
Just imagine what I could have done if I wasn't a white racist.
I think that's. I talked to Len Wein, another writer for
Ween.
Ween. Sorry, I said that to his face. He yelled at me, and I always get it wrong. And we talked about Sweet Christmas. Did you get much on the Sweet Christmas? Were you part of the guys that came up with that?
I didn't come up with it.
And Len said you did.
If I used it, no, it was there before Len.
That's what I said too.
Yeah, well, Len has a very selective memory.
Good.
I love Len like a cousin that I don't have to see more than every couple of years. But no, that Sweet Christmas was around almost from the beginning. I think it was probably Archie Goodwin. And I used it as, I'm not going to say I never used it, because I might have used it somewhere along the line. But I didn't use it more than once or twice because it was such a stupid thing.
I like it.
And then Apache Chief, who we know because they had to create characters for the Super Friends to show the diversity. Wait a second. Didn't they have a character called Black Vulcan?
Yes, they did.
And what happened with that?
Well, it was supposed to be Black Lightning. And as part of my partnership deal with DC, I was supposed to get a piece of that action. DC didn't want to give me a piece of their action, which is actually what the agreement calls for. So they told Hanna-Barbera that they'd have to pay extra for Black Lightning. And Hanna-Barbera's response was, we'll just steal the character, which they did. And DC let them get away with it. And that's why the last issue of my first series of Black Lightning has a villainess called Barbara Hanna who has a phony Black Lightning as part of her con.
I did not know that. So DC got the cut part right.
But in all fairness, I will say that DC now has new management, and I expect, so far I've been treated much better than I have in decades.
That's awesome.
It does seem likely to continue.
Yeah. So Black Lightning minus pants is Black Vulcan.
Well, look at how many black heroes do not have pants. How many?
I can name one.
Here we go. Tyrock.
Oh, can I talk about Tyrock?
Please, go ahead.
Can you imagine? You're the Black Bomber. You're this white racist. And you can't wait to pick up this comic book about how, you know, 1,000 years in the future, black people live on an island that only shows up every 100 years or so. It's like white racist heaven.
It is. That's the storyline in the future. That's how they said that there were no African Americans in the future when it comes to Legion of Superheroes. All the African Americans chose to segregate themselves until the white people got their stuff together.
And on Krypton, all the black people lived on an island. I'm not making that up.
Donald Trump said they built them themselves. Boom, I got the biggest laugh now.
They paid for that shit.
We usually do a very a section on stereotypes for women stereotypes when we have Emily with us, but we don't feel comfortable doing it with this most testosterone on stage.
Oh, but Whitey and Whitey are more than willing to talk about Asians and black people.
That's because we don't see color.
Yeah, I was going to say Green Lantern, absolutely. How about you, sir?
I'm trying to think, you know, because normally if the comics are really bad, I try not to read them. I'm trying to think who's pissed me off lately.
Well, there was the Batgirl. Everyone knows what I'm talking about. The Batgirl, when there was a transgender character, and Batgirl kind of lost her mind about it. She handled it very delicately. No, and
I have to object there.
Then I agree with you.
Okay. So, what we have to do is not look for enemies where they do not exist. There was a villain in a recent Batgirl comic, and it was a guy impersonating Batgirl. Nowhere in the actual script, he's a flamboyant performer, but nowhere in that script is it stated that he is transgender, that he's a cross-dresser outside of his impersonating Batgirl for his evil ends, or even that he's gay. There's nothing like that in the script. He's a villain in a book that had already shown it was transgender friendly by introducing a very normal transgender woman. So I guess you have to be careful not to look for enemies where they don't exist. And just speaking as a writer, I fight for diversity as much as I can every day. But what I don't want are perfect icons of any race, creed, or anything like that. You know, people aren't perfect. And if you try to create like the perfect Muslim or the perfect gay man or anything, they're going to come off in a way as almost a kind of reverse stereotype, where you're making them so perfect that they're not relatable. So diversity can be a tricky road, but don't always assume that people have bad motives. Sometimes they're just stupid.
There have been a couple of villains in the past that haven't been outright thought of or shown as Jewish, but were kind of Jewish stereotypes with the elongated nose and the features and that were kind of a nod to being Jewish. But I can't think of any recently. How about you?
No, not really. I mean, there are those who believe Peter Parker is Jewish. And I could kind of see that. But no, I can't really think of any. But keep in mind that the comics industry was created by Jewish men who used to publish what was passed for pornography in the 1930s.
Well, it's more self-censorship, and you guys get to vote with your dollar. If you see something that you hate, you get to stop buying the comic book. That can be a double-edged sword because self-censorship, I've always worried about self-censorship. But you hit on it a little bit when what you just said.
Yeah, I mean, again, don't rush to judgment. I know that's the opposite of what internet communication has become. But think about it, and don't look for enemies that don't exist. But if you come across a character who you find is offensive, don't buy the comic. Let people know why you're not buying the comic. But also keep in mind that there's a whole lot of people out there who are offended strictly by the idea of a black hero or a Muslim hero or a woman hero or a gay hero. I mean, and they vote with their dollars too. You have to, you know, vote with your dollars. Let publishers and writers know why you're walking away from their book. But then when they do a character you find positive, I mean, I love the Ms. Marvel character.
Yeah, Ms. Marvel, Kamala.
She's exactly what I want from a Muslim character. She is not a perfect Muslim. She's a teenager who makes teenage mistakes. But yeah, when they do something you like, let them know that too.
and the news media picked it up because it was being protested by this group of, you know, racists. They're
currently protesting Lucifer.
I love Lucifer.
And I'm thinking, you know, here's a very positive immigrant from hell. trying to live the Los Angeles lifestyle as a true American, and they're protesting him.
They have no heart. And I will say one more thing about the Archie comic where Kevin Keller got married. His partner was black, and nobody cared that it was mixed race marriage. So that's
progress.
That's progress.
If I can address Kevin for just I love the character. But when he first appeared, and Dan Perrin and I had a conversation about it, I said, you know, you're making him too perfect. He can eat more food than Jughead. He's smarter than everybody else. And Dan took that to heart because within a few issues, you know, Kevin was screwing up the way all the other teenagers in Riverdale screw up.
You're young, so you probably don't remember. Batgirl was in The Killing Joke. Was shot and paralyzed by the Joker. So I don't think they're going to have the Joker shoot her again.
Not just shot and paralyzed.
Well, hey, there's kids.
Oh, there's kids here? Okay.
It's a family panel.
It's a family panel. Okay. I hate the Killing Joke. I hate the Killing Joke more than I can express.
But really? It did create the Oracle out of it.
Kim Yale and John Ostrander created Oracle out of it. The conversations in the DC office is about, you know, crippling Barbara Gordon were not at all pleasant.
Tell us about it.
I will not identify the speaker, but his reaction was, yeah, let's cripple the bitch.
Ooh, jeez.
Wow. Well, see, now we've got another stereotype that has been commonly referred to as the girlfriend in the refrigerator.
There's still a lot of fear. And again, this is a type of person we don't see in comics, which is married superheroes.
Batwoman.
One more day.
Exactly. I'm still pissed that they killed off Gwen Stacy because I think the natural thing should have been for Gwen and Peter to marry. She was perfect for him. She was better at science than he was. She was the daughter of a police officer, so, you know, she had the sense of justice. They played her that way in the movies. I kept hoping that they were going to change the ending of the movie so she didn't die. Married heroes. One of the only things I regret about Black Lightning, even more than the Afro mask.
I love the Afro mask.
Well, we thought it was a great idea at the time. Was that I made him a divorced man because I had an opportunity there. And had I continued on the second series, you would have seen that. Of showing a strong black family. Again, something that we don't see in comics. The Black Vulcan character in Super Friends? No, that was a ripoff of Black Lightning because they didn't want to pay me for Black Lightning.
So Black Lightning has appeared.
He has appeared on
Brave and Bold.
Brave and Bold.
Young Justice, that's right.
Young Justice and those bumper cartoons that DC does.
Oh, yeah.
A friend of mine, Linnell Ferguson, has done a couple of cartoons with Black Lightning and his daughters that are very funny and very well done.
I got to look that up on YouTube. Oh. Be right
there. Yeah. My question was, what advice would you give to somebody who wants to get into like comic books and wants to show diversity? Like, where do you start? What should you do to avoid like the stereotypes?
I'm going to let you take that, but I do want to pass on one thing that someone said to me. You'll remember who said it, but create a good character first, and then everything. And then if you want to add, change, you know, anything else, but the character first. But I'm sure you have better advice than me.
Well, character first is a great way to go because, you know, my feeling has always been the more real you make the characters, the more believable they are to you and to your audience. These days, there's a lot of different ways to get published. It's very difficult to break into Marvel and DC unless you've written movies or novels or other things right now. But you can publish comics online. There is print on demand where you can, you know, don't have to spend a lot of money to get a few copies and then have it available through Hulu or something like that. there are very reasonable public printers who deal with comics that don't have the enormous print runs of DC and Marvel. In fact, one of them is up on the third floor, Barry Gregory of Kablam, yep. And they do really nice work. Well, to be a little snarky, there's a lot of writers and editors and publishers who have had very unhappy marriages. I've been married to the most wonderful woman on earth for 32 years. I would love
that
to write.
That deserves a hand. Come on.
I would love to. I mean, my intention for the second series of Black Lightning was to have him remarry his ex-wife. And raise a family. Had I stayed on Ghost Rider back in the 70s, that was my intention there, too. I had set up a story to write the devil out of the thing, and you would have seen Johnny Blaze as not an obvious Christian, but you would have seen him go to church every now and then, the same way Black Lightning went to church every now and then. I describe Black Lightning as a Northern liberal Baptist. You know, all the faith, none of the bigotry. But yeah, you would have seen Johnny Blaze, you know, married to Roxanne Simpson and having some kids. It's part of reality. You know, I mean, people get married. People have kids. People actually have happy families. And that should be reflected the same way blacks and women and gays and Muslims and Jewish people and every other kind of person you can think of should be represented in comics. Mm-hmm. Family, you know, family should be represented as well.
We have five more minutes. So I see.
Before we take a couple more questions, Tony, could you tell everybody how they can read your blog?
Oh, yeah.
Please.
Which is excellent.
It's called Tony Isabella's Bloggy Thing. It's at tonyisabella.blogspot.com. It is, when I'm not doing too much work, it's nigh daily. I really would like to get it back up to appearing every day, but sometimes work comes in. One of my jobs is ghostwriting newspaper strips, and except for one client who's a year ahead, those guys are always fighting deadlines. Mm-hmm. So when they call and ask me to write a couple of weeks of their strips or come up with gags or plot a story, they like need them right now. Hopefully I'm getting out of the latest cycle of too much work. But there's like 2-3 years worth of blogs on there, which will amuse and possibly horrify and possibly even anger you.
So do y'all think with the political correctness climate in today's society that it's going to continue to degrade the development of superheroes, or do you think it's going to open it up to more possibilities?
There's no such thing as political correctness. There's just correctness. In other words, are there kids sitting around here? Don't be a dick.
I think that's the best way to end this panel, isn't it?
But we're not going to. We have one more.
They were nowhere near as good as the original Milestone comics.
Please.
They just.
Oh, go ahead. I was going to say, please read the old Milestone comics, and please, everyone, read The Fall of Milestone Comics. It is a great book, and it's about how an African American publishing house really had to fight its way uphill to get these characters published. Have you read that?
No, I haven't yet.
Oh, it's a great book. It's kind of a little bit on the dry side, more academic, but it's a terrific comic book, and it'll really answer some of those questions. I'm going to take that one last question.
I was just thinking when you're talking about married superheroes, how do we get past the convention that superheroes can only have families once they retire?
Those editors and writers who are against it, they're not going to live forever. And tell them you want to see that. Tell them, said, I have a happy family. I want to see that reflected in comic books.
But, you know, marriage rates are going down, so we might actually see an equilibrium at some point.
Thank you very much. If you want to read a good family comic, read Saga.
Thanks again to Tony Isabella for joining us on our Horrible Stereotypes panel in Pensacola, Florida at Pensacon 2016. We'd also like to thank Kirby Crackle for their music that they provide every week. If you haven't listened to them, go check out KirbyCrackle.com, download them on iTunes, or listen to this music.
night at the moon's full glow. I was out at the club with the music thumping. Oh, a Thundera Gray Malkin Lane as the bass bumped off the side of Snake Mountain. Jim on the stage with the hologram girls. Next up, Alison Blair to light the start of a night at the bar at the end of the world that my mind can't erase. There were 10 in the bed and the Thundercats said, roll over, roll over. There were 9 in the bed and the Amazon said, roll over, roll over. So we all rolled over and both fell out. Then they hopped in the jet with the growling pal. Roll over, roll over, roll over, roll over. Final call came, there were shops all around with the gummy bear juice and the get a fix potion. Feeling all right, we broke into the night. Dagger headed and I'm transportation. Where to go next? Some said, some said, some said. But I knew in my head that those itty bitty bears wouldn't do, so we settled on my plate. There were 8 in the bed and the tiger shark said, roll over, roll over. There were 7 in the bed and the rescue ranger said, roll over, roll over. So we all rolled over and both fell out. It was back to the sea and the trees for now. Roll over. But 3 Powerpuff Girls. We were in the club tossing back Johnny Bravos. I danced off my pants with a fly pepper and who kept massaging my hand. I took her to my land. I'm like the Fred Flint. She's Diana Prince. I could be the Bruce Wayne crusading these chicks. Now the 4th one, she looks like Daphne. The night's still young and my carpet shaggy. Morgendorfer, she's so sarcastic.